It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Great pleasure to be with you. And during the week, you can visit us at Fox Business News, FBN, every day, Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. And if you can't get there for some reason at 4, just text your favorite 9-year-old and she'll show you how to DVR the show. And here you can live stream us on radio, LarryKudlowShow.com, LarryKudlowShow.com, throughout this country, around the world, throughout the solar system, and the Milky Way. All right, we got my dear friend, Ambassador Robert O'Brien, former National Security Advisor during the Trump years, and now Chairman of American Global Strategies. Robert, welcome. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Larry. Happy Masters weekend.
Yes. Interesting golf tournament. So I didn't understand Biden this week. The Israelis took out this Iranian Quds commander, terrorist commander, and Iran says they're going to fight back and they're going to hit Israel or something. But Biden stands next to the Japanese prime minister at their news conference and says our commitment to Israel's security is ironclad. That was the word he used, ironclad. And then I guess that was on Thursday. Yesterday, he used the word don't. The last time I heard don't was what he told the Russians before they invaded the Ukraine. But the other time, in fact, in the same Japanese press conference, he also went on about how the Israelis should hold back going into South Gaza, Rafah, a 6 to 9 month deal, a hostage exchange. You know this story better than I do. I'm just saying, on the one hand, he seems to be betraying Israel. Now he's saying ironclad commitment to Israel's security against Iran. Which is it, Robert? What's he telling us here? What kind of messages is he sending?
This is a problem when you move away from a peace of strength posture and go to an appeasement posture, and then you want to transition back to being strong. It's your adversaries don't respect you. They don't take you for your word. So Biden, you know, we've had Afghanistan, we've had Ukraine, we've had the Gaza invasion. And let's just look at the Iranians. We've given the Iranians more money in hostage ransom payments and in sanctions relief, hundreds of billions of dollars, than we've ever given Israel or Ukraine. I mean, think about that. Iran has made more money in the Biden administration than Ukraine and Israel combined. And so it rings false when Biden says we're going to stand by Israel. He's telling them not to go into Rafah, which is held by Hamas. That's Iran's proxy. He's telling them Israel not to respond to Hezbollah. I mean, the Iranians, we've had these pinprick attacks against the Houthis. They've been stopping shipping in the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. So the whole posture is weakness. So then when he comes out and changes his rhetoric and says things are ironclad, it's hard for adversaries to believe it.
Mm. It's a real mixed message, isn't it?
It's a mixed message, but Larry, what we found out in the Trump administration, and you know well, and it works in economics and it works in foreign policy as well, is people are watching what you do and not what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they watch this withdrawal from Afghanistan and the catastrophic retreat. They watch this not give Ukraine the weapons it needed to fight the Russians early on, and now we're trying to backfill them, but it's maybe too little too late. They watch this, you know, call for regime change in Israel while we were negotiating with Hamas and treating Hamas like a legitimate political party. And they watched us take the maximum sanctions off Iran, which Trump had on them, and give them a couple hundred billion dollars in sanctions to relieve the hostage payments. So watching what we do it does not inspire confidence to our allies, and it causes our adversaries to believe there's this weakness that they can exploit. It's very dangerous.
Robert O'Brien, do you think Iran is going to hit back Israel?
I think they'll do something. Their credibility is now on the line. The question is how strong a statement they'll try and make, and they've got to be very careful because Israel has tremendous capabilities. I don't think Iran wants to get involved in a war with Israel at this point. So I think they will hit back. How hard they hit back, we'll have to see. We'll see if they use proxies and use Hezbollah to hit back. We'll see if they attack from Iranian territory. But an attack from Iranian territory onto Israeli territory is very problematic for Iran.
Are there American assets that could be hit if Iran started doing stuff?
Absolutely. We have bases all over the Middle East and that are within the range for Iranian missiles and drones. And so, American assets are at risk. And again, the Iranians saw that they through their proxy, Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq, attacked American bases in Iraq and Syria over 100 times with no response. So again, there's no deterrence there. But keep in mind, we can hold the Iranians at risk as well. I mean, America is a strong, powerful country. If the Biden administration does change course and decides to respond to an Iranian attack, we've got the capability to destroy Iran. And so Iran's got to keep that in mind.
You know, the cynic in me, besides the points you've just made, important points, the cynic in me says that Biden doesn't want a quote, wider war in the Middle East because that'll blow up oil prices and gasoline prices at the pump during the election year. It's a very cynical view, but somehow or other, we've let them go from 400,000 to 600,000 barrels a day to 3 or 4 million barrels a day because we don't enforce the sanctions anymore, which is a tremendous mistake. I think it's all of a sudden Biden comes out and says, "Don't do this ironclad commitment." I think he's thinking gas prices.
Well, you think of gas prices, you think about 100,000 votes in Michigan, 100,000 voters that voted uncommitted in the Democrat primary, primarily Muslim Americans who are totally opposed to Israel and some of whom were shouting death to America last week in the protests in our own cities. But these are the voters that Biden needs and wants. So I hope politics isn't playing a role, but with the Democrats, domestic politics always plays a role. But the other thing is, his record compared to President Trump is very poor on the war and peace front. Our administration, Larry, the one you and I worked on with President Trump, it was the first administration since Jimmy Carter not to start a new war in the Middle East or anywhere in the world. No wars under President Trump. No new wars. Under Biden, you've got Ukraine, you've got Israel, and probably Taiwan before he leaves office. So it's a very, very different record than President Trump. President Trump had a record of peace, Abraham Accords, Serbia, Kosovo, Gulf Rift. This president has a record of war and incivility. So it's a stark contrast, and anything that furthers that contrast is bad for politically, not just oil prices, not just Muslim voters in Michigan, but the whole idea of, do we want a peaceful world with a strong America, or do we want a world where the dictators and thugs feel like they can run wild because the America's not on post.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Robert O'Brien, other point I wanted to raise last couple minutes. There's a story, tough story in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. It was a news story, not an editorial, that for all the talk about the hostages and a potential hostage release, Israel hostages, American hostages released by Hamas, which Hamas has not agreed to, we don't know what they have. We don't know how many are alive, and it may be a much smaller, tragically, Robert O'Brien, a much smaller number than anybody dreams possible.
Well, this is my fear of dealing with Hamas from the very start, and that's why I called it, having been the former hostage envoy, the special presidential envoy for hostage affairs before becoming national security advisor. This is an area I know, and my concern was knowing Hamas and knowing what they've done to hostages in the past, and seeing how brutal they were on October 7th with the killings and the rapes and the torture of the women, My thought was that a lot of these hostages are already dead. That's why I called for SEAL Team 6 and Delta Force to join the Israelis and search for the hostages and try and rescue them. And instead, we've ended in almost a year of drawn-out negotiations with these brutal terrorists and left the hostages in their tender mercies. And that's not a place where a hostage wants to be. I think we're going to find out that many of the hostages were killed and tortured. I'm sure they abused the women and may even killed the women afterwards to prevent them from speaking out about what happened to them. So we have no idea the Red Cross has been denied access to the hostages. We have no independent verification that the hostages is still alive. And now Hamas has come out and said that they don't know where 40 of the hostages are.
Right. That's
they know where every one of them are. They use the bodies. Hamas uses bodies of hostages, and I dealt with this when I was in office. The remains, because the Israelis want to bury their dead in Israel, they use the remains to trade them for live terrorists, Palestinian terrorists. So Hamas knows where every one of these hostages are, dead or alive, but they're not telling us. And my heart breaks for the hostage families. I mean, can you imagine being a family of these people with under the control of these serial killers and psychos in Gaza? Terrible.
And they have used many of them, or some number of them, as human shields.
Of course, that's classic terrorist operating procedure. I mean, and they're not just using the hostages as human shields, they're using their own citizens. Yeah. And think about this, Larry. Most armies are created to protect the citizens of a country. And in Gaza, the citizens of the country are being used to protect the terrorists.
Yes.
And yet we treat Hamas and negotiate with them in luxury hotels around the world and hold back our forces from taking them out. And these are terrorists that killed 30 Americans on October 7th. It's not just that they engaged in the worst pogrom of Jews since the Holocaust. Yeah. They killed Americans.
Yes, and Joe Biden rarely talks about that. How can we make a deal? How can the Israelis make a deal for a ceasefire, Robert O'Brien, and a hostage exchange when they don't know anything about the hostage exchange part?
Well, they can't, and that's the problem. And unless Hamas comes clean and Hamas needs to come clean, explain what they did, and take responsibility for it, get the hostages who are still alive back to Israel, get the remains of those who have perished back to Israel so they can be laid to rest in peace in the Holy Land, in their country of origin. And then maybe there's some, ceasefire that can be had. But until the whole hostage issue is resolved, you can't have a ceasefire with these thugs, because you'll just have another October 7th. You'll have more hostages. You'll have more terrorism. So until the ceasefire is not going to happen until this administration gets tough, not just on Hamas, but on Iran, which is the primary sponsor of Hamas. Those hundreds of billions of dollars that we gave to Iran that we talked about, a lot of that money went directly to Hezbollah and Hamas. So this is being funded indirectly by U.S. sanctions relief on Iran. And again, it's a sad day for the country.
I'll tell you, that's right. And this hostage story is going to be a heartbreaker. You know it is. It's just going to be a heartbreaker for the families, the Israeli families, I guess, principally, but the American families. I mean, we still think there's some American hostages alive. We still believe that?
We hope so. It's U.S. policy and this administration's policy. It was ours as well, that unless there's proof of death, we assume they're alive and we do everything we can to get them out. Yeah. And I hope we're doing everything we can to get them out, but until we put our special forces on this and JSOC and the FBI hostage rescue teams and use all the assets we have, we can't be sure. And look, we dealt with this with ISIS, with the Foley and Sawoff and poor Kayla Mueller, the beautiful young woman from Arizona who was killed, and Kasich, these aid workers and humanitarian workers and journalists who were killed by ISIS. We never stopped looking for their bodies. We still are. But remember what we did, Larry. We brought al-Baghdadi to justice, the caliph, the leader of ISIS, who ordered these deaths of the Americans and many others. President Trump brought him to justice. Mm. And we need to be thinking the same way about Hamas, that we deal with them the same way we dealt with ISIS. We eliminated the physical caliphate, and we took their leader down. And until our adversaries know that that's how we're going to behave, Americans are at risk everywhere.
All right, I got to go. It's a tough, tough story. Ambassador Robert O'Brien, former National Security Advisor, presently chairman of American Global Strategies. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.